Today we will turn our attention to one of the false religious systems which is competing for the souls of modern men. Our focus is the New Age movement. Joining us is Dr. F. Lagarde Smith. Dr. Smith has written a response to perhaps the most popular of the Western world's New Age prophets, actress Shirley MacLaine. Ms. MacLaine, of course, has written a book entitled Out on a Limb, which was also made into a television miniseries. And Lagarde Smith's book asked the question, is Shirley MacLaine right, or is she out on a broken limb?
Lagarde, it's good to have you with us once again.
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy.
How much of the New Age's popularity can we attribute to the work of Shirley MacLaine?
Well, if we take it in the context that the groundwork was laid during the 60s, during the drug culture and the hippie movement, the flower power and freedom for virtually any kind of activity that you want, and the whole human potential movement that came in with such programs as EST and Lifespring, once you see it in that context, you have to realize that the foundation had been laid, but the one who really sparked the interest in the 80s was Shirley MacLaine. She is the Pied Piper of today's New Age generation.
How many people believe in reincarnation and other New Age teachings today?
Numbers are not available simply because of the fact that the New Age movement is not like a normal religion or church where you can count the people that show up in a pew. There are no church buildings. There are no real meeting houses along the way. Indications that you get come from interesting sources. One is your local bookstore, such as a B. Dalton or a Walden bookstore. You walk in and you see now a New Age book section that is larger and more prominently displayed than the old traditional religion section. You start to see government programs and business programs where CEOs and others are being asked to go to seminars that, in effect, are New Age seminars. So it's permeating through government, it's permeating through business. You start to see, even in certain public schools, that children are being encouraged to engage in yoga, relaxation therapy, and so forth. You drive down the street, you see signs for psychics in a way that it's not like your palm reader that you used to pass. I mean, we're talking about established psychic people who are posing as channelers, clairvoyants, and so forth. You see New Age bookstores almost everywhere now. It started off in California, of course, but it swept across the nation. And the New Age bookstores come very close to being the churches for the New Age movement. In the back room, they often set up with quartz crystals and triangles that you set under, pyramid arrangements you set under for extra power and so forth. So taking all the indicia together, you're seeing a sweeping captivation of this belief system by the American public. I would venture to say that though it's still far in the minority, we are on the way to seeing a two-track society religiously, no longer a Christian nation as we've always come to accept it, but a two-track nation where it's both Christianity and paganism.
It was C.S. Lewis many years ago who said that the battle for the souls of mankind would come down to Hinduism, or a form of Hinduism which absorbs all other religions, and Christianity, which excludes all other beliefs.
Yeah, and that's really what's happening, is that even in the New Age movement, which draws heavily upon Hinduism, but is also radically different from it, it is absorbing Christianity. There are people who are saying, I am a Christian, yet I believe in reincarnation. I am a Christian, yet I believe that I am God. And when you get that kind of generic, smorgasbord, custom-made, tailor-fitted religion, then, as you indicate, every religion is subsumed under the heading of New Age.
In her book, Out on a Limb, Shirley MacLaine uses Christ, the Bible, and even Christianity to support her beliefs. Obviously, she twists and misinterprets Scripture to accomplish her goals. Demonstrate for our audience some of the errors that she makes, won't you?
Well, her spiritual mentors, various people who were supplying her information in her early quest for understanding of these mystic truths, kept telling her that there were scriptures which would support New Age belief, among which I think the most classic is when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And they play on that through their reincarnational philosophy to say, and again, and again, and again, as if Jesus was supporting reincarnation. The idea of being born again into a different lifetime. One that plays well into the hands of the you are God message is the idea that Jesus said, have you not heard it said that you are gods? And of course, he's referring back to Psalm there, where the Psalms are referring to the judges of Israel doing God's work on his behalf. But even in that context, they are accusing him of blasphemy for saying that he is really God. And he is saying, yes, I am, but you are not, in effect. And they realize that, and that's why they persecute him. One of the other favorite passages they throw out is where Jesus said of John the Baptist that he was the Elijah who was to come, the idea being that, well, Jesus must be saying that Elijah was reincarnated in the body and personality of John. Even when John was asked that question, he said, no, I am not. And when Jesus referred to it, the disciples had just seen on the Mount of Ascension Elijah, and they would have known, obviously, it was not their contemporary John. One of the passages you will never get through the New Age movement is Hebrews 9:27, where the writer says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that to face judgment. For all the scriptures that they give us, that's the one that they ignore, probably because they don't want to face judgment, and certainly they don't want to give up their idea of reincarnation.
McLean also goes so far as to say that Jesus was a great yogi, not a savior. What is she saying in that statement?
What she's doing is reflecting on a number of books that are out on the New Age bookshelves that are saying that we have never been told about the 18 missing years of Jesus' life, that he, of course, in the Bible, we leave him at the age of 12 and don't see him again in Scripture until he is 30 years old when he starts his ministry. So in those 18 missing years, rumor has it that he had taken a camel merchant train over to India and become a Hindu yogi. There are rumors extant even today about Jesus having been a Hindu yogi and so forth. And that's not really surprising because a man of his reputation in Palestine during his day, you can well imagine that the news would have spread far and wide around the world about him, and people would have taken the picture that they'd gotten of him and incorporated it into their own religion in the same way that New Age is incorporating him into their religion today. So that's not surprising. But what we're being told is that the miracles that Jesus performed were simply a matter of mind over matter that he had learned to be able to accomplish as a Hindu yogi. Of course, the problem there is that no Hindu yogi would even try walking on water, raising someone from the dead after several days, or any of the other miracles that Jesus performed. Certainly, it's not something that a human being can do. He was drawing on his strength as the person of God, and that's the only way he was able to do that. So he is a unique figure, despite all the efforts to make him on the same par and same level as Buddha, Krishna, and other Hindu yogis.
Another important New Age belief is that there is no such thing as good or evil. How does this fit into their thinking?
Well, it's central to it, actually, and here's how they get to it. I went to one of Shirley MacLaine's, as she called it, Getting in Touch with Your Higher Self seminars, and she surprised me, even knowing what I had read from her, she surprised me when she looked out at her audience very calmly and twisting a Psalm 180 degrees. She said, "Be still and know that you are God." And I thought, boy, that's shocking. And I thought that was the bottom line. But she knows that logically the extension of that is, and she went ahead and said it, therefore, your truth is as valid as my truth is as valid as your truth. And, of course, that's another interesting bottom line, but that was not the end of it. The next statement out of her mouth was, and therefore, there is no right, there is no wrong. You see, if we're all gods, then whatever we do is right, it's truth. You know, we sometimes get mad at someone who's done something outrageous, and we say, who do you think you are, God? As if they have the license to do that. Well, the New Age answer is, clearly, yes, I am God, so I can do whatever I want to do. There's another way of approaching it, and that is through the whole concept, which is a little more theological or philosophical, the whole concept of monism. Monism meaning, as in mono, monotone, all is one. The trees are one, the skies are one, you and I are one, God is one, therefore we are God. And if everything is one, then you blur the distinction between such opposites as dark and light, hot and cold, and then even good and evil. And still another reinforcement of that idea is that if we choose our own reality, which they say we do, then everyone is choosing what is best for him, and therefore nothing can be either right or wrong. The question is raised, well, what about the people who died in the Holocaust? Was there nothing wrong about that? And the answer that comes back is, no, they chose that experience. And since they chose that experience, for whatever reasons, then that's a good thing. Or at least it's not a bad thing. So there is absolutely no distinction between right and wrong. And once you throw rationality out the window, as they do, you don't appeal to any objectively viewable standard. It's just intuitive. In the 60s, if it feels good, do it. In the 80s and in the New Age movement, the cry is, if it feels good, believe it.
Lagarde, New Age followers use so-called out-of-body experiences to support their belief in reincarnation. Tell us about this aspect of New Age thought.
Well, what they're really trying to do when they say that we can have out-of-body experiences, or as they sometimes call them, astral projections, they're trying to establish that we have a spirit apart from the material body that we live in. And, of course, we Christians have believed that we have a soul all along. They're trying to discover something that we could have told them about through Scripture. And what they're saying is that if we, in fact, can have auras, which you can sort of see something besides the physical body. When you look into a person, into their eyes for a long enough time, the peripheral vision tends to create a kind of aura around them, sort of a sunburst around the head sometimes when the light is just right. And so people are saying, ooh, look, there's something to me besides the physical package, that there's a soul, a spirit, a person inside. And again, we've always known this. And so when you can have people who tell stories about near-death experiences where they say they're on the operating table, they look down on themselves, see the doctors operating, see the light and so forth, they're saying that's another form of the out-of-body experience. Sometimes that they meditate themselves into thinking that they are outside of their bodies, that they take trips sort of looking around the world and anchored only by sort of the silver cord by which they're tethered to their body and they return. I have to tell you one just an incredibly funny letter that I've gotten in response to Out on a Broken Limb. I've been receiving letters from an inmate in a federal prison for some time who reads my books and then comments on them. And he said, Professor Smith, just tell all the people out there that you talk to that if there could be such a thing as out-of-body experiences, we prisoners would have them. And I thought his point was well made, that if in fact they could really happen, then we could do all sorts of things that we obviously cannot do.
One of the biggest embarrassments to those who want to believe in reincarnation is India. Tell us why New Age followers don't want to talk about India very much.
India is a problem for the New Age movement because as much as they like to point it to be a showcase of wonderful mystical thought and enlightenment, India has been the site of Hinduism and Buddhism for centuries. And if, in fact, Hinduism and Buddhism are the way to enlightenment and the way to bringing about social renewal, then why hasn't it worked in India? Far from being a showcase of cultural growth and awareness and enlightenment, it has been a dismal fleshpot of suffering and poverty and discrimination. Westerners say, let's believe in reincarnation. Isn't it exciting? Isn't it going to bring us to the brink of human awareness and divinity? And yet those who are in India have never seen reincarnation as a great benefactor. They've seen it as a curse. In fact, the whole religion of Buddhism comes out of the awareness of Buddha that, in fact, there was this horrible cycle of life, suffering, death, life, suffering, and death. And he wanted to get off what he called the infernal wheel of reincarnation and try to devise a method whereby that could be done. So it's just odd that upper middle class, materially affluent Americans would go back to believe in a system that has both been a curse to the people of India and a belief system that they are trying to get away from, not to encourage us to go toward.
How do reincarnationists account for the fact that the great majority of people never claim to remember anything from a past life?
Well, the immediate answer is that there's a veil of forgetfulness, quote-unquote, that comes over us. And they say such interesting things as, listen, we can't even remember what we did when we were 1 or 2 years old. So why should it be so dramatic a difference that we can't remember what happened in prior lifetimes? And, of course, they capitalize really on this idea by being capitalists. They come in and they say, I will tell you for a fee who you were in prior lifetimes, either as a channeler or as someone who is a hypnotic therapist that supposedly takes you back into prior lifetimes. So for the price of a session with your local channeler, you're supposed to be able to get in touch with who you were. Naturally, that is simply a fraud. It's something that they make up in their imagination. What you want, you will get. I went to Shirley MacLaine's own psychic, Kevin Ryerson, undercover, so he wouldn't know who I was or what I was up to. And, I said, I've been reading a lot about Shirley MacLaine lately, and she's just sort of always on my mind. Is it possible that the reason is that we've had a prior lifetime together? And immediately, the entity that supposedly was coming through him says, oh yes, in the 13th century in China, you were a Taoist scholar and she was a shadow puppeteer. You worked together to bring the message to the people. Well, I mean, you get what you pay for, and interestingly enough, they know that you want your money's worth, so you're never sort of an unknown fisherman on the banks of the Zambezi River. You're always a countess or a prince or some famous soldier or general, so that everyone feels important, like you have great pedigree.
Oh, my. How much did it cost to find out that you were a 13th century Taoist scholar working with puppeteer Shirley MacLaine?
Well, I went to a group session. I think the fee for the group session was $75, and then I had a one-on-one session, which was $150. One of the interesting things that happened between the two of those sessions is, at the group session, I gave him an actual dream that I had about Shirley MacLaine and myself while I was working on the book. And so I got a very nebulous fortune cookie kind of a interpretation at the group session to that dream. 4 months later, I gambled that he would not remember me from the earlier session, and I gave him the exact same dream in detail and got a wildly different interpretation.
Well, that seems to confirm that many of our so-called prophets of the New Age are merely profiting from the spiritual foolishness of our time. Before we run out of time, Lagarde, let's go over the many problems inherent in a belief in reincarnation.
Well, the first and biggest point that should be made is that, in truth, we cannot remember our past lives. And if we cannot, then it's not doing us any good from a spiritual standpoint. How can we grow and develop, which is supposedly the purpose of reincarnation, if we can't even remember who we were? For example, when I asked Kevin Ryerson what my bad karma was, he said I didn't have any. I think he was shocked that anyone even asked about bad karma. We're into it for the fun and games, but if in fact we're supposed to be growing from it, we ought to be able to know what our bad karma is and what our previous lifetimes were. Secondly, we all have to learn to tie our shoelaces over again. If we've had many, many lifetimes, we should have learned more things in the past than we have learned. But we all start off from scratch as children to relearn all the things that children must learn. And of course, from a biblical standpoint, we clearly are told that we don't have to live many lifetimes in order to reach perfection. In fact, as we know, we couldn't do that in any event. God says to Christians, if you will place your faith and your trust in me, commit yourselves to me, and be under my lordship, then when you die, in one lifetime, I will deem you to be perfect. You don't have to do it on your own bootstraps because you couldn't do it anyway. But I will deem you to be perfect in one lifetime through my grace. But grace is something that New Agers are not wanting to latch onto for fear that that recognizes that we have sins that need to be forgiven, for fear that that recognizes there's a judgment ahead, for fear that there is a hell for those who are disobedient to God. As much enticement as you think grace ought to be to a person, they would rather give it away because they want to be in control, be God themselves, and face no judgment for their actions.
How can Christians best prepare to answer and reach out to people who are caught up in the New Age movement?
Well, the first thing that has to be done is that we have to become acquainted with what the New Age movement is all about. For a while it was mysterious, but there are now not only my book, but there are dozens of books written by conscientious Christians who have studied the New Age movement. You need to go out and get some of those books and familiarize yourself with what is being said. It is so radically different. It is not a case in which we're arguing the Bible with people who already believe the Bible and we're just trying to fine-tune what the Christian doctrine is. We're going to have to become familiar with Hinduism and Buddhism, religions we're not familiar with ideas of karma and transmigration and reincarnation that we are just simply not familiar with. So reading up on that, and once again, living the life of a Christian so that people who are struggling for values will see Christ in us and want to ask us about the faith that's within us.
Well, Lagarde, we're out of time, but I thank you for your help in discussing the New Age movement, and I think that many people will find the information that we cover today very useful.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Dr. F. Legard Smith has been Dr. Kennedy's guest. Dr. Smith's book is Out on a Broken Limb, and he has another book on the New Age entitled Crystal Lies, which should be out any day now. Dr. Kennedy, Dr. Smith said that in order to reach out to New Age followers, we should study the New Age, including Hinduism and Buddhism. And I know that other people recommend we study only the Bible so that we can identify false teaching when we come across it. What would be your recommendation?
Well, I think there's something that can be said for the fact that every kind of cult and occult heresy attacks Christianity and the basic tenets of Christianity. So I think the first thing we need to do is understand the basic fundamentals of the Christian faith, which have to do with the existence of God and his separateness from his creation, that God and the universe are not one and the same, that pantheism is false. We need to understand the Trinity and the deity of Christ, the nature of body and spirit, the meaning of the resurrection and salvation by grace through faith. And these things we need to get a clear grasp on from the Scriptures. I think after that, we can perhaps understand people who are into various false cults or views of one sort or another, philosophies, by understanding the basic errors that are out there, which deal with such things as pantheism, which is what Hinduism or Buddhism is, and what the New Age is. And we need to understand the falseness of that. The great Princeton theologian Charles Hodge of the last century said that pantheism is the very worst form of religion that has ever existed. Because when you say that all is God, as we've seen today, you obliterate any distinction between good and evil. There can be no evil because everything is God. And if it's God, it obviously is good, and therefore evil cannot exist. This is the kind of thing that you would hear in the basic syllogism of Christian Science, which is sort of a westernized form of Buddhism, which is all is God, God is good, all is good. And if all is good, then evil does not exist, and evil becomes good, and this breaks down the basic distinction between good and evil, which certainly is taught by Christ and the Scriptures, and therefore anything goes if there is no evil. So it is something that people ought to have some grasp of, and this is what is being revived now in another form in the New Age. And it is a dangerous heresy that needs to be understood and combated.
This is Bob Allen for James Kennedy. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Cruise the Transform is a production of Coral Ridge Ministries. Opinions expressed by guests on the program are not necessarily those of Coral Ridge Ministries, Dr. D. James Kennedy, or this station.